Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back today with Nancy Manos. I am so excited to have you back, Nancy, with me. It's so fun. So you were on a few weeks ago and we were talking about The Price is Right.
Yes.
That was really fun. We talked about the price of homeschooling and is it worth it? Is it really worth the sacrifice that we make as parents to homeschool our kids? And so this time we're going to talk about successful homeschooling. And I know that this is a topic that every homeschool mom loves to talk about because we all want to homeschool successfully. I mean, if we didn't, we wouldn't be doing it. Right?
Exactly.
So for those of you who may have missed Nancy in her first episode that she did with us a few weeks ago, Nancy, could you just introduce yourself to us once again?
Sure. So I am a graduated homeschool mom of 2 that we homeschooled our daughters from preschool through high school. And I'm a grandma to 2 little boy, grand boys. They're 2 and 5 and love the grandma life. It's amazing. And I served on the board of directors for the statewide homeschool organization with my husband for 13 years, and then was the executive director for 3. And now I'm retired, and I still love encouraging homeschool parents.
So fun. And I love that you get to be grandma. That's so much fun for you.
I don't like the long distance grandma thing because they live in Northern California, but we get to video call and we get to visit them and they come down and see us. So it's working out pretty well.
Yeah, that's so nice. And you're not terribly far from them.
It's a 13-hour drive, but it's, you know, fly to San Francisco or Sacramento and drive up a couple hours. So it's not close by, but it's doable. They're not, you know, on the other side of the planet or something. So.
Right. Which is great. Not across the ocean. Right. Which is nice. It's so funny. Garrett and I went on a date last night. Actually, we found this great taco place that we like. We love tacos, but we like kind of like hipster tacos. We're not hipsters, but we like hipster tacos. You know, the ones with like the cool names and that are just different than your typical tacos, you know, with rice and beans. And so anyway, we went on this date last night and coming home, we were talking and Garrett was like, "Do you realize that we're old enough to be grandparents?" And I was like, "Yes, I do." Because we've been married 26 years. And so had we had kids right away, we easily could have grandkids by now, which would be exciting. I mean, I've heard grandkids are amazing. I think kids are amazing. So if grandkids are more amazing, like people like you tell me, then I really can't wait for grandkids.
It's true. Yep. It's amazing.
So fun. Hopefully we'll have grand boys. Well, I mean, I'd like granddaughters too, but we have no boys in our family. My whole world is girls. And so it would be fun to have.
It is a whole nother world from raising girls to having grand boys. It's a blast.
Yeah.
They're super fun.
Yeah. That's the word on the street. That's what I've heard. So, I love talking to moms of boys and just hearing the fun stories of things that they do. And they're just different. You know, God made us male and female, and boys and girls are different. And it's good. It's such a good thing. And I cannot understand why the world wants to pervert God's plan. Because it is such a beautiful design that he has made. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about tips for successful homeschooling. And this is one of my favorite things to do, is to encourage homeschool families to be able to homeschool with excellence.
Yeah.
You've homeschooled, you did it for many years. You homeschooled your girls all the way through. And so I know that the Lord has taught you many things through your journey of homeschooling. And so I'm grateful that you're back with us again today to be able to encourage our audience with some very specific things that they can do to be successful in their homeschool journey. And let me kind of ask you, when you started homeschooling, I know you shared last time you were with us that it was not something that you had really planned on doing, but you had observed another family who you really respected. And you're like, oh, I really like that family and what they stand for. So that's kind of what got the wheels turning with you. But I don't imagine that jumping into homeschooling, you went into it and you were like, yep, I got this. I'm perfectly equipped. I have everything all together and I know exactly what I'm doing. Go. So I assume you learned through the years.
Totally learn along the way. I think I was probably, when you make a decision from the beginning to homeschool, there is something about us that we're just naturally swimming upstream. Mm-hmm. We're kind of counterculture. And so there was something in me that I was determined to succeed, to do my very best with this, because this was the decision that we had made. And we did make the decision from the beginning that we were in for the long haul. I didn't see the purpose in educating my children and then in their early teen years, sending them out to be with a group of peers that were not going to lead them into godliness.
Right.
You know, and so we did have the long-term vision, but sure, there was lots of things I had to figure out along the way. I love the idea of having a plan and a goal, but really we're relying on the Lord. And so we need both. We need to have a vision for where we're going, but we also need to really be reliant on Him because He guides our steps. So this topic of success to me is kind of at the core of our homeschool adventure. You know, I think you need to start with asking yourself two questions. One is, what does successful homeschooling look like to you? Hmm. You know, every family is going to be different. Some families are going to have really rigorous academic focus. Some are going to be, my children need extra attention and care. They need to have a quieter environment, you know, whatever. Like there's all sorts of dynamics. But then there's going to be, are you focused on academic achievement? On, you know, that they want to be a doctor, so you're preparing them for that? Is it, you don't know what their giftings are yet, but you really want to give them a good foundation? So just asking yourself and starting having conversations between you and your husband, or for the men with their wives, what does successful homeschooling look like to you? Start having that, you know, and add to your list as you go. But the other thing, and I shared this in our last time together, was to think about the end, homeschool with the end in mind. So picture yourself, your last child has graduated and you're looking back on your homeschool experience. What do you want to feel, or what do you want to hope to have accomplished in your time that you've invested with your kids? And so those two things kind of help me to plan my days, because I was thinking about the end.
Right.
At some point you're going to finish. Even if you have 10 children or 12 children, you will finish homeschooling at some point. And you want to look back and know that you did your best. It's never going to be perfect. It's not going to be without flaws and failures and missteps, but your best. And then that'll help you make plans for today, steps you can take.
Yeah. So I want to go back to, you talk about successful homeschooling and knowing what that looks like for you. But I know that for a lot of new homeschool parents, especially, they have no idea what that would look like. Like, I mean, if you ask them, you know, what does successful homeschooling look like for you? They're going to say, you know, well, that my kids would get A's in all of their subjects and that they would be well behaved. And, you know, hopefully if they're, you know, a Christian family, their main goal would be that they would love Jesus. But it's so hard to separate our idea of what school looked like for most of us growing up and what homeschool can look like. And so for a lot of people, success means replicating what the public school or private school, traditional school setting looks like and bringing that into our home.
Absolutely.
And you and I both know that that is not what a successful homeschool looks like. Now, that may be part of it for some people. It may work for them to replicate some of that in some aspect, but it's really impossible to do that because being home with our kids is so different than just sending them off to school for someone else to teach them throughout the day. You know, I think we talked about this maybe in the last podcast that we did together, and that, you know, homeschool is not just the academics, but it's every part of life that plays into your day. It's the chores and the doctor's appointments and the grocery shopping and the menu planning and all of it. And so Can you talk to maybe the parent who's brand new at this homeschooling thing? And they're like, I don't even know what successful homeschooling would look like. I could tell you what successful schooling might look like, but what would successful homeschooling look like?
Yeah. Well, so my vision for success was that I would raise children who would love the Lord, that had integrity and good character and a hard work ethic, you know, those kind of things, but also that we would have balance and peace in our home. So I needed to get things done in a way that we didn't have chaos, that we knew where our school supplies were, that we had kind of an expectation of what our day would look like. You know, we're not winging it every day. Hey, what do we feel like doing? You'll never get anything done like that.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't want it to be so strict and rigorous that it was no fun for anyone, you know? So I think just knowing that it's about relationship. So the things that you're doing, you want to give your kids a quality education. You want them to excel in their lives, whatever they end up doing. And you want to equip them. Like, that's the whole thing that we're doing, is we're giving them access to information. We're teaching them how to learn. But then what are we doing in our day and our home that is helping to facilitate that? That's creating an atmosphere where everybody is, you know, willing to cooperate, and you're not like climbing through a mountain of dirty laundry to get to the table to find where is the pencil, like those kind of things, yeah. You know? So for success to me was that they would be learning, but even more than that would that they knew how to learn, mm-hmm. You know, they could read, they knew how to research, and that they enjoyed the learning process, so that any topic that came up that they, you know, had an interest in, they could go and learn about it.
Right.
And lots of times it didn't involve me. You know, as they got older, it was really fun to see them go. And like, Olivia had a ballet teacher that was from Russia. And we went to one of those half price book stores.
Uh-huh.
And she found cassette tapes. Like, this is how old I am.
Wow.
cassette tape version of like a Berlitz class to learn Russian. And she never really learned it to speak it or write it, but it was just fun to see, hey, that piqued her interest and she could do that, you know?
Yeah.
So success, I think, really is, you have to look at all the elements of your family. You need to be well as a mom too. Like, if you're not painting the picture for success that includes how you structure your day and organize your home, you're going to wear yourself out and be grumpy, and nobody wants that. So success also looks like health for mom. Mm. You know, you get walks in, you get outside with the kids, you play a board game, you cook together, you eat good food, you know, all of life is encompassed in this homeschool journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Nancy. You know, it's interesting talking about success because it's a word that gets used a lot in our culture, but it can really have different meanings depending on how you look at success. And as Christians, of course, we talk about all the time, and you and I have talked about that success for us would be our children loving the Lord. Plain and simple. I mean, when they come face to face with him, I want him to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, not good job on math or excellent job memorizing all of your history dates. You know, I mean, great. That stuff is important to a point, but love Jesus. And what are you doing with what he's given you in life? That is success. But then our world looks at success as, you know, getting good grades so that you can get to a good university, so that you can get a good job, so that you can make a lot of money, so that you can have a really nice house, so that you can have the perfect life and take nice vacations and have nice cars, all of those things. And not that it's bad to have those things. Right. It can be bad. It could be a stumbling block for some people, but that is not success. Success in homeschooling is pointing our kids towards Jesus. But I know oftentimes there can be obstacles to success. So where do you see some obstacles that can come into play when trying to succeed in homeschooling?
Well, and this is one of my favorite things, is we need to be aware of what's going to hinder our progress. And if we're not aware of them, we can't eradicate them or eliminate them or reduce them. And so one of them, I think the most kind of the starter place, is a lack of vision. Mm-hmm. If you don't know where you're going or what you're aiming for, you'll never get there.
Right.
You know, so when we talked about already on the previous one, a little bit about knowing your why, why you homeschool, understanding why you are teaching your children at home. You know, if you're just doing this, it's an emergency thing for a year and you're going to be putting them back in school, you're going to have a different why than somebody who is choosing to homeschool and they've already pictured they're going to go all the way to the end.
Right.
And then knowing your why helps you with every decision you have to make. All sorts of opportunities are going to come your way, and you have to be able to discern, is that going to help you have success based on your own goals and your vision? I think, and you'll also be easily knocked off course. You know, if there's a difficulty or a challenge, if you don't know why you're doing something and you don't have a core belief in this is what God is calling our family to do, when challenges come up or somebody accuses you of, like, you know, you're hurting your kids because you're homeschooling them, which we know isn't true. Homeschooled children get excellent educations and they turn out to be really amazing people.
Yeah.
But not everybody sees that. And so there will be critics in your life. And if you are not committed to your why and understand that, it's going to be really easy to be knocked off your, you know, course when those things come up.
Yeah.
So another one is lack of unity between husband and wife. Mm. So it might be that only one parent is really on board with the idea of homeschooling. And it could be even, like this was our case early on, was how you homeschool you could not have the same vision for. My husband had an amazing public school experience, and he thought we would bring that home, and the kids would be up at 7:30 in the morning, and they would be at the table until 3 in the afternoon, and they would be happy about it, and, you know, whatever. He had this vision that looked like school. Well, it didn't look anything like that. They were not early risers. They got up at 9. We were done by noon with seat work type stuff. Half the time, they were laying on the floor, under the table, you know. We would go outside and do school a lot and things like that. And so it didn't look like he thought, but he and I had to work through that, because there were times early on where he would come home and be frustrated. Because our day didn't go how he thought it should go. But the kids were learning and we were doing great. And so we needed to work through that. So working out those differences of opinion and a lack of unity between you will really help.
Yeah. I want to just park there for just a second. How, if there's a mom who wants to homeschool a certain way, or a mom who wants to homeschool and her husband does not want her to, or he wants to do it a different way, how do you encourage that parent to bring unity into their marriage in regards to homeschooling? Because that could be a really tough thing. I mean, we've known families like that where the husband's like, nope, I don't want you to do this. And almost always it's because he simply doesn't understand homeschooling. He doesn't understand the benefits and the blessings that will come to his family and to him as a result of it. All he sees is the hard work. He sees the you know, and again, in the last episode you and I did, we talked about the prices, right? And the price and the sacrifice that we make. And so he sees only that part of it, but doesn't see the benefits of it. So how can a couple bring unity into their marriage when there is disagreement?
Right. Well, I think, you know, one thing that's really helpful is to find friends that are like-minded. Like, you want to, it was really helpful for James and I to have friends that were thriving, healthy, successful homeschool families.
Yeah.
Because that gave us a picture and things that we could talk about. You know, I hate to recommend this, but there are times, I think, where For a season, probably the better thing is to enroll your child, which I today is really different than I would have given that advice 20 years ago. Schools are scary to me, mm-hmm. what they're teaching our children Absolutely. From a Christian perspective. But we also need to honor each other as husband and wife. And there may be a season where that's a decision until you can get somewhat on the same page. I think there is a level of trust. Mm-hmm. And I know I had to go to James several times. Some of it was about money for curriculum. Some of it was about the way we were homeschooling. And I just had to say, we decided to do this. Do you trust me? Mm. And if you trust me, I need you to support me. And if I'm doing something that is amiss, like, I want you to speak into that. But I didn't want to feel like I was under the microscope having my day judged by my husband.
Right.
I was doing a good job. So I think there is this, you have to have trust. You have to work through it. But make sure you're bringing information in a way that your husband will listen. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, you know, Todd Wilson podcast, or I'm sure you've had guests on your podcast that would be great. You know, would you just listen to this one episode mm-hmm. and then could we talk about it?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of information out there. You know, Heidi talking about getting your kids out of the public schools. That's a powerful message. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's choosing not to do this thing, and we're not really sure what homeschooling looks like, it's a toe in the door.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting in the right direction. It's
yeah.
hard though.
Yeah.
Boy, because you don't want to fan the flames of strife in
right.
your marriage, in your home. We yeah. don't want that.
No, I agree with you completely. I would never, ever, ever in a million years ever recommend for anyone to put their kids in public school. I mean, the ministry that God has called us to is all about getting kids out of public school. However, I agree with you in that if it is causing division in your marriage is more important to the health of your children than homeschooling them. And that's a hard thing to say, but
so hard.
You have to have unity. And as a wife, if your husband is adamant about not homeschooling, honor your husband and obey him first and trust that the Lord is going to yeah. bring the protection over your children. At the same time, when I say that, parents have to also remember that if their kids are in school because dad has, you know, refused to let them go, or maybe it's mom who's refusing to homeschool. Maybe dad wants sure. them to be homeschooled and mom is the one who's saying, nope, it's too hard. I'm not going to do that. There's just no yeah. way. That parent needs to be ready to undo what's been taught to them at school and fill that gap with a biblical worldview and, yeah. and encounter that with truth, because they are going to be taught things that are contrary to the word of God. And so that's a lot of work for that parent to have to do that, but it's a sacrifice for the sake of your marriage and your family and peace in your home to be willing to do that. So we are out of time for today. We'll be back on Wednesday. We're going to continue talking about tips for successful homeschooling. Nancy, where can people find out more about you?
I have on my website, nancymanos.com. I've got a blog and I've got some homeschool articles and encouragement there.
Okay. Sounds great. You've got a fantastic blog. I will put links to that on the in the show notes. And you guys, thank you again for listening today. Please consider giving to the Ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked. We would love it if you would do that. We have been blessed by having some amazing sponsors who have come alongside of us to keep this show going. But we also really rely on donations from our listeners, and it is a huge blessing. So if this show is a blessing to you, we would love it if you would do two things: share it with your friends and consider helping to support it financially. You can go to the Schoolhouse Rocked website, schoolhouserocked.com, and you'll see a button on there that says donate here, and you can make a tax deductible donation to help keep this ministry going. So thank you guys for listening. We will be back with Nancy on Wednesday and talk more about tips for successful homeschooling. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you back then. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.